This is Sherry Jones interviewing Reverend Penny Ford at the Wesley Foundation on October the 13th, 1995, and the subject of the interview is Women in Ministry. Some background information. What is your date of birth?
I was born October 16th, 1963.
Place of birth?
I was born in Memphis, Tennessee.
Your parents' name?
Jen and Peggy Ford.
Your marital status?
I'm single.
Your education?
I went to Central High School in Tuscaloosa, then I received a BA in Religious Studies at Birmingham Southern College. Graduated in 1989. I attended seminary at Pacific School of Religion in Berkeley, California, where I received a Master of Divinity, and I'm currently working on an MA in the area of art, worship, and confirmation.
The job you have in your current job?
Currently, I'm serving as a campus minister and director of the Wesley Foundation at Jacksonville State University. Before this appointment, I was appointed as the associate pastor at Christ Church United Methodist in Birmingham, Alabama. Before that, I was in school, so my jobs were anything from dishwashing to youth director jobs to I directed a small choir for all of the community.
What year did you begin your candidacy process?
I began my candidacy process in probably 1984 or 1985 when I was a senior in high school.
And when did you become an ordained minister in the Methodist Church?
I became an ordained elder just this past year in June in 1995. The process for me was about 9 years.
Okay, tell me something about your religious background and upbringing.
Sure, I come from a family where everyone on my mother's side is pretty much Baptist, Southern Baptist, and everyone on my father's side is Methodist. When my mom and dad got married, my mother was a very devout Southern Baptist churchwoman, and my dad was a United Methodist who maybe didn't go to church that much. So when they got married, my mom said she would go to the Methodist church if my dad would just go to church. So me and my family, my brothers and sisters, were all raised in the United Methodist church.
Who were your female role models growing up?
Probably the person I admired most was my sister, because she was 5.5 years older than I was. I liked to follow her around. There were other women who had a big influence in my life, including Kate Hewitt. She served as the choir director at Texas First United Methodist Church, where I grew up. She spent a lot of time and a lot of love and a lot of energy with the youth group. And she was a big influence in my life.
Was Kay your only religious role model?
My only female religious role model?
Female religious role model.
Uh-huh.
And religious role model.
Like I said, I came from a family of strong Southern Baptist friends. So there were people like my mother and my grandmother and my aunt that I really admired and respected because of their religious convictions.
Did you have any women role models that were ministers or know any female ministers growing up?
Yeah, you know, as a child, I had never seen a woman minister before. At my home church, there were several ministers on staff, but the only full-time woman on staff came in with me as the choir director. It wasn't until I was in college, my first year of college, I got a job as the PE director up at Sandy Hills United Methodist in Birmingham, and one of the ministers on staff was Reverend Barbara Foster. So for the first time in my life, I heard a woman preach.
Were the male ministers that you had, were they a strong influence? Or were your main influences from within the church, in the congregation?
The male ministers were a very strong influence in my life. I happened to attend that church at a very creative time in its history. The senior pastor was Joe Elmore, and he was a poet. Also on staff was a man named Danny Roundtree, who was a professional artist. And then Kay Mutert, of course, was a musician. So a lot of times, Joe would write poetry, and Kay would put it to music, and Danny would add visuals to it. So in my local church, there was so much art, and so much beauty, and so much depth in the way that they expressed theological issues or issues in the heart, in art and theater literacy. So they were a huge influence on my life. Also, Mike Stewart was a pastor on staff, and Duncan Hunter. And they were very supportive of women in ministry, very supportive of young people, and have been mentors.
Did this art background influence your choice of major and your choice of study?
Yes, it really did. When I first began thinking about working in church, I thought it would be in the area of programming and worship, because I wanted to integrate art into the programming and worship life of the congregation, just like I had experienced it growing up. I never really considered ordained ministry until I got to college. So yes, it had a big influence on not only how I understood the church, but my understanding of God.
Tell me something about your call to ministry.
Well, like I said, I first thought that I was being called to work in a church in the capacity of Christian education and programming and in worship. I just didn't consider ordained ministry a possibility. Then when I got to college, I began taking classes in philosophy and theology and the arts. I began to meet other people, both men and women, who were going to ministry, and I began to think that that might be an option for me.
Was your family supportive of your decision?
My family was very supportive. They thought it was a little bit weird. My mom, when I told her that I was going to major in religious studies in undergraduate school, also wanted me to get a degree in education so that I could fall back on a teaching career if the ministry stuff didn't work out. I think my mom had a glimpse of how difficult it might be for women in ministry, and I think she kind of wanted to protect me.
What about her side of the family, the Southern Baptist side of the family?
We don't talk about religion much at family reunions. I have a couple of cousins who are in ministry who are more fundamentalists in their fundamentalist research. So we really don't talk about it a lot. I remember my aunt just a few years ago, but I overheard her talking to my mom and saying how she thought that it was fine for me to go into the ministry, but she didn't think she could ever go to the church where there was a woman who was a pastor. And at the time, I was just very offended and really didn't understand how difficult that might be for my aunt and for some of my family in this small Tennessee town. But it was only about 4 or 5 years later that they received a woman pastor at their local United Methodist Church. And it was, my mom's family, my aunts and uncles, who were the first ones to open their arms and their homes and their hearts to receive this woman as the pastor of that church. So that was a very special time for me.
Have they heard you preach?
I think my uncle has heard me preach because he's from the Birmingham and occasionally brings a cousin or something to come and hear me preach, but most of them have not.
How has your church been supportive of your decision? Your home church?
The first step in the ordained process is an inquiring step. And you have to go before the board, the staff parish board at your local church, and they have to recommend you to be an inquiring candidate. And then you have to be voted on at charge conference. So at the very beginning, my very first step into the ministry, I received the overwhelming and unanimous support of my local church. They also have helped me financially with the candidacy guidebook. They have supported me through all the years of my seminary education. And when I was just ordained as an elder, they bought me a robe, one of the long, large black pulpit robes. They bought me a robe in support of my ministry.
Have you had the opportunity to go back to your home church now that you've been ordained and preach or serve in some capacity as a visitor?
I've been back to visit. I've been back to speak at Youth Week 3 years. This coming Holy Week, I'll be doing the Monday Thursday service. I'll be preaching and officiating the community. I'm kind of nervous about it.
What seminary did you attend and why?
I attended Fisk School of Religion in Berkeley, California, for a variety of reasons. I was looking for a seminary that had an arts program that was integrated and part of it into the School of Theology. And there are only two in the United States, and one of them is the Fisk School of Religion. I also wanted to go there because there was a consortium of seminaries. Pacific School of Religion is interdenominational, primarily United Methodist and United Church of Christ, but it's linked with 9 or 10 other seminaries, including Dominican, Franciscan, Jesuit, Presbyterian, American Baptist, Episcopalian, Unitarian. There's a Buddhist Center of Studies, Center of Women and Religion, Center of Black Urban Studies. So I knew that there'd be a very diverse community of people, and I wanted to be in a culture that was different and meet people from other countries. I also chose that seminary because over 60% of the students are women. And the Northern California Conference has a long history of women in leadership positions, including a female bishop, including numerous female district superintendents. And I wanted to go to a seminary where gender was not a factor, where it didn't matter if you were male or female, or what your age was, that it wasn't a positive, it wasn't a negative.
You said that 60% of the students were women. What about the faculty? Did the faculty correlate with that?
I don't know if the faculty correlated exactly. I know during my seminary time, there were several male professors who retired during that time, but there is a large population of women professors.
Do you think they were aiming to recruit women, or the type program they offered just attracted women?
I think the type program that they offered just attracted women.
Because there was a male minority, did the males face discrimination then? Was it reverse discrimination?
You know, I can't really speak for the men because I don't know what their experience at the seminary would have been. I know that it was a very different experience for a lot of them to be a minority. For a lot of the white men, especially, it was the first time they had been in a cultural setting where they were not the majority. So I'm sure that had to be a little bit of a journey or something. But I can't really speak to their experience specifically.
Did you have any classes there that had great impact on you?
I had a wonderful class at the Jesuit school, and the title of it was Theological Issues Raised in the Literature of Flannery O'Connor and Rose Lady. And Flannery O'Connor is a sort of a Southern Catholic writer, and there were only two of us in the whole class that had ever lived or been to the southeast of the United States before. So a lot of the cultural things, the people in the class just didn't understand about the South. Why people would dress up to go to church, and what were some of the subtleties of language or culture. I, on the other hand, had little to no experience with Roman Catholic Church, so a lot of the imagery that related to Roman Catholic Church, the Jesuits in the class taught me about that. So it was very exciting and enlightening.
Do you think it's easier for a female minister or candidate to find funding?
At this point in history, I don't think it's any easier or any harder. It's difficult to find funding for theological education anyway, regardless of your gender. My guess would be that it may be a little easier for older students over the age of 25 or 40, to receive financial support than for younger students. I don't think gender is a factor in this.